So the question was asked, how are we to understand the Rambam that says, Kofin oso achayoma rotze ani. We have this concept that you may not give a get under submission. A get has to be given of one's own volition. And yet the halacha says, we'll beat a person until he says, I agree. And then we accept that, and we let him give the get. So that needs to be understood. You say it has to be of his own free will, and now you're saying, yeah, if I beat him, and he says yes, that's called his own free will. So, okay, right. At first glance, that doesn't sound right. And that's what the Rambam was coming to address, so we have to understand that. Let's begin. We have a basic concept that's very, very important in our own perspective of ourselves, and it's very important in our education of our kids, and that is, Ha'elokim bara et ha'adam yashar. God created man straight. Meaning, when a person begins his path on life, although we each have predispositions, and every person has his weaknesses and the things that attract him, the assumption is the basis is good. Human nature, our desires, well, they drive us to certain places. But if you ask me, who am I? And that's a tremendous question, and you guys are taking me to a very important topic. Who am I? I have to define who I am. Am I the guy that runs out and buys 10 packs of Doritos? Or am I the guy that has self-control? Well, last night I bought 10 packs of Doritos, and the night before I downed 3 gallons of ice cream. So what kind of self-control do I have? No, not me. Very often we have this question. It's one of the questions that the youth of today struggle with. Do I like who I am? Do I not like who I am? Who am I? I know a lot of things I've done, but is that who I am? So we have a very, very important concept. And if you guys can master this concept really gives tremendous freedom to a human being. And that is, you are good. The fact that you have made wrong choices in your life, the fact that you have certain weaknesses, the fact that you have certain things that draw you, that attract you, that interest you, that's also true. But now you have to answer the question, who are you? And the answer to that question is, I am a good person. Now, how come if I'm such a good person? We had a guy sitting in this classroom not so long ago. It was this decade, okay? We had a guy sitting in this classroom who told me there wasn't a person in his life he didn't rob other than his mother. He stole from every single person he knew. And I was checking my wallet as he said that. Right? He says to me, this is my history. We won't talk about the drugs he dealt. We won't talk about the times he sat in prison. You know what a beautiful life he has today? You know what beautiful children? What a beautiful marriage? What a beautiful home he's built? How honest he is? What a job he has. Now, if you look at this person, you say, where can a guy like that get to? He came to us, I think, after his, I don't remember if it was 7th or 17th time sitting in prison. I don't know how many warrants were out for his arrest. So, Rav Bigun said a beautiful line. He said, we believe in the power of tshuva. We believe, and it's a simple concept, right? You think it's simple, but go live your life based on this concept. A person has the power to change courses. No one's saying it's easy. No one's saying that you'll get there without making a real decision in your life. Very often we look at the end goal and say, I want to be there, but I'm not willing to take all the steps to get there. But we do believe in that power. And we believe that every person was created good. Sometimes you'll look at your kids and you might have a hard time seeing that. I remember seeing a three-year-old take a metal truck and whack her brother in the head with it. And you look at it and you say, we're all created good. That 3-year-old today is a girl ready to be set up as shiduchim, a very, very kind person. She's no longer a 3-year-old. Elokim bara et Adam yashar. Hashem created man straight. Hashem created man honest. Hashem created man good. And sometimes that good is covered. And sometimes it's so covered that we don't even see it in ourselves. We look at everything we've done and we say, okay, it's a nice thought. No, it's a critical thought. And I want to share with you a conversation I had with a psychologist a few weeks ago. I presented this idea to him in passing from a passage we learned in the Magid Midovna. The Magid Midovna really draws this beautifully. We gave an allegory, we gave an example of how to apply this. Imagine you're walking in the supermarket, you have a limited budget, you know you have an issue with debt. You know you shouldn't be buying things that are beyond your means. And as you walk in, there's something on sale, so you put it in the wagon. And then you start asking yourself, can I afford that? Should I buy that?
Do I need
that? Is this the time I should be buying it? But you're doing all the calculations as you're walking around with the item in your wagon. No, don't do that. Put the item back on the shelf. Now walk around with the item in your wagon and ask yourself, do I need that? Should I buy that? Can I afford that? We've added all kinds of things to our wagon. And then when we start thinking about, I'm a good person, we say, wait, but I got all of this in my wagon. I've done all of this. I have this history. The idea of tshuva is I can overcome that. But ask me who I am, I can't deny what I've done. But who am I at the end of the day? Who was I when I started and who can I become? That's good. I just want to finish. The psychologist told me that if there's one point that he spends his day trying to get people to understand, it's this idea. Because Western society drives into our heads that we are our desires. You are an animal. You're a sophisticated animal, but you're an animal. You are, look at what they're saying. Even a person's attraction to men or women, that's decided. Has nothing to do with you. It's the chemicals in your head.
Man was created straight.
What?
It's funny how you said in the beginning of class, man was created straight.
Okay. And the Jewish concept of b'chira chofshit, I have free choice. Yes, I have my weaknesses. I have the things that attract me. I have my history. But at the root, I have a holy neshama. We say it every day in davening. Elokai neshama shenatata bi. Hashem, you put a soul within me. Tehorahi. It's pure. I know I've done things wrong. I know it has a history. I know there's certain cleansing I might have to do, but the neshama you put in me is pure. Ata v'ata, at the end of the day, you created it. Ata yitzalta, you formed it. Ata nefachta bi, you blew it into me. I went to sleep at night, I was half dead, I woke up in the morning, now I'm alive and functioning. And I say, God, I know what life you put into me. What do we say every morning? Modeh ani lefanecha, I give thanks before you, Hashem. Melech chai v'kayam, king who is living and existing. You gave me a soul again with your compassion. How great is your faith in me? You gave me another day. You gave me another chance. I know I didn't live up to what I was supposed to do yesterday. But you have so much faith in me. I sometimes fall into bed and I'm very disappointed with myself. And when I wake up in the morning, the feeling doesn't pass. But then I say, Rabbi Munatecha, and I remind myself, he had faith in me. He told me, he gave me life, he's giving me another chance. I got to give me another chance too. Rabbi Munatecha, your faith in us is so great. So one of the fundamental ideas that we work with when we work on ourselves, and even as we learn the Talmud, is that every person, every one of us, is created with a good soul, with the capacity to be very, very good. Now, sometimes that's covered. Sometimes that's covered a lot. And the question is, how do you clean it off? So let's take an example. You have a person who, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but I've been experiencing this almost every week. There's a new malady in town. I hope it's not here to stay. It's called anorexia. So it's rampant to numbers that blow my mind. There isn't a week I'm not in contact with someone whose daughter has been diagnosed with anorexia. And it's a situation where people are convinced that they're very fat and they can't eat, and they starve themselves to death, basically. And you have a person who is convinced that they can't eat because they're so huge. And then I don't know how many of you are in touch with someone like that right now. There's someone from the what?
I saw this girl on the phone. She looked like so, like,
you see people like
she had been in, like, there was some major troubles. She looked like she was about, like, to die of starvation.
People do die from it.
Sure, people die from it.
My wife has a friend who died a few weeks back from a month ago.
Oh, I'm saying there hasn't been a week in the last half a year. I don't think there's been a week where I haven't come in contact with this. I didn't have contact with it before, but the last year or two has been like the last half a year specifically. The last case that I encountered was today, literally. I was on the phone with the psychologist today. I hope it will be the last one. But there was someone whose daughter was diagnosed with it last week, and someone else the week before, and it's been like blowing my mind away. What happened? I don't know. Either I didn't come in contact with it before, or something changed. But he's telling you his wife's friend passed away from it a few weeks ago. I don't know if it's something changed and it's more common, or it's being diagnosed more, or I'm just encountering it more. But at any rate, so you have people who are not eating, and they're convinced that they're fat. So you have a person that looks so emaciated that they're literally hospitalized, and they're convinced that they can't eat, that they're fat. So what would you say? If you force such a person to eat, you put them in a regimen, but they're forced to eat. I'm in touch right now with someone in a hospital up in America. His daughter, will dedicate our next learning to his daughter. She's in such a hospital right now as we speak. They're forcing her to eat. No, they're not putting. I don't think they're putting a tube down their throat. That's not what I understood. Right now, as far as I understand, they have some kind of system where she knows she must eat. So they sit her next to a plate and they force her to eat. What would you say? The girl says, "What's wrong with that? They're making me eat so much. I'm going to explode." And they're forcing her to eat. Now, are they bringing her back to normalcy? I mean, a third of the girls, the report we got from this hospital in America was that a third of the girls die, a third of the girls contend with it their whole life, and a third of the girls get out of it. So now they're trying to help her get out of it, get into a habit of eating. They're forcing her to eat. And the hope is that as they force her, so with time she'll get back into the habit of eating, right? At least they're saving her life right now. I mean, now what? They're forcing her to do something that's right for her. They're forcing her to something that's normal. They're forcing her to something that might ultimately bring her to where she's supposed to be, right? No one would say they're doing something wrong. everyone would say they're doing something right. So sometimes we say, no. And if you disagree,
never.
Why?
Yeah, there'll always be some crack.
There'll always be some.
The right to do with the body what she wants.
Right.
A normal person would agree that you try to help her.
You try to help her, but it might not be the right means.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I say, personally, I don't know if there's a better solution out there, but this is one area where I definitely question modern medicine, because if they're telling you they have such a high percentage of girls dying, then their method is not the success rate I like. I agree.
It seems like it's a psychological issue where you need to do something where the person actually sees the reason to eat, the need to eat, that they see themselves in the mirror as a different person.
Right.
Or that they don't feel that competition in the world so much.
Hopefully this will work.
I agree. I'm just saying, for now...
Keep them alive, so you got to find a way to get food in.
Is this not a sickness from our society today?
I don't know.
I mean,
when food was scarce, you didn't have people not eating, that's true.
There is a very...
But you didn't have lactose intolerance too much. The rich man's disease.
So it's not only women. There are also men in these words.
I hear it always among women.
Right, it's more common among women. So, again, I just brought it as an analogy. So you have a situation where someone is being forced to eat. I think you're not going to say that we're doing wrong. No, quite the contrary. We're forcing them back to something that's normal.
And she wants to live on some level.
Not necessarily.
So maybe
I don't know.
that was what you said before.
I think so. I mean, the one in America that's in contact with me this week wants to live. Yeah. Right. I don't know. I can't say that about everyone.
I saw last Friday when this girl was walking by, and she was on the cell phone, and my Hebrew's not that good, but I could hear her say, it's a problem for me to eat. And Rabbi Shalom Telushkin, author of Shalom in the Home, the TV show, he dealt with people who had anorexia. You know, and he's like, I knew a lot of people in Jerusalem, he said, on the TV show, who have died because of this, and the world is a darker place because of it.
Yeah, so again, I brought it as an example where we all agree that there's a realm of normalcy, which when you force a person to that realm, you're not hurting them, you're trying to help them to get to the right place. Now let's zoom out for a minute and zoom back in. A guy says, what? Well, one second, we have to draw the line. What?
You're not beating her into eating.
One step at a time. A guy says, what I want to do is I want to stab people. This is what I want to do. This is what I think is right. I'm going to walk around stabbing people, throwing rocks at people. You won't disagree with me that sometimes you have to hit him, and you got to get the knife out of his hand. You got to get the rocks out of his hand. Sometimes you have to incarcerate him. Sometimes you got to get him into a mental institution. But you will use force to force him in the direction that he has to behave. And the idea is, the fact that you have the physical capacity and maybe the mental capacity to hurt people doesn't mean it's right, and it's not even right for you. You too, when we can bring you to the right place, you will realize that you are not doing what's right, and it's hurtful to you. You're not being the person you should be. It's in your interest. Now let's go back to the situation of a get. You have a man that was given a certain power to hold on to his wife against her will. The courts have looked into it, and the courts have come to the conclusion that there is no legitimacy for him to hold on to her. He must divorce her. What does that mean? That means that the Torah says on the one hand, he has to willingly divorce her. There's no separation without his willingly writing that get. On the other hand, the Torah also says that if the courts have come to the conclusion that he must divorce her, that means he has been so wrong to her and the situation is so bad, you can't salvage it, and the Torah demands of him to divorce her. So now, what are we doing in essence? We're saying, we know that deep down inside you're a good person. You want to do what's right. But there are other things getting in your way. You're being blinded by certain things. And you're, because you're being blinded, you're not doing what's right. So you are hurting this woman, hurting her to the point where she can't do anything with her life. We say it's almost as bad as being killed, a situation of a woman being held against her will. And you have a responsibility, you have a mitzvah. You're not standing up to your responsibility. So is it any different than us stopping a man from stabbing people? He is hurting her. And the his mitzvah right now is to give her a get. He's refusing to do his mitzvah. So what we're saying, but again, conceptually the idea is beautiful. What we're saying is, if you're going against the Torah, then we believe that deep down inside what you want to do is what's right. But you're being slighted by so many external factors, you don't see that. It's like the guy who says, I don't want to eat. I think I'm going to explode if I eat. I think it's terrible for me to eat. And we say, no, we're going to force you to get back into the habit of eating. It's in your interest. So here it's on a different level. We're saying you're doing something that's extraordinarily hurtful to your wife. And you have a mitzvah to give her that get. You're saying you don't want to. You're like that person who says, I don't want to stop stabbing. I don't want to stop. I don't want to start eating. So we say, okay, we're going to force you because we know that deep down inside, the real you is happy to do it. But that idea opens up a beautiful concept which gives every human being strength, and that's the idea that deep down inside, every one of us wants to do what's right. So I've spent a whole lifetime being a failure. Fine. That still doesn't change the core of who I am. And at the core of every Jew, the assumption is you want to do what's right. And if after being beaten, you came out and said, okay, I'll do it, we say that was a second of clarity or a second expression of what was inside you all along. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think it's in...
But you have to remind me your name.
Itzhak.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting idea when it comes to extreme situations like saving one's life or life of other people, but if we... I mean, we can just can misuse this idea also. I mean, we can say, you know, every Jew is deep inside. I mean, he wants to be kosher. He wants to keep Shabbos, and that's why we have the right to force everyone to do that. It's very dangerous.
I agree. Right. It is a dangerous idea, no?
I actually like the approach that you put it out there.
But yeah, but you're too far. It's a different thing. I think you're right, it's dangerous, but the rabbi was saying this was a person whose life was in danger, and the other example was when you're putting someone else's life in danger. If you're not keeping kosher Shabbos, you may be hurting yourself spiritually,